My featured guest today, Arch Crawford, combines technical analysis with planetary alignments to identify and divine patterns in the financial markets for over four decades. Welcome back, Arch Crawford.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have had unseasonably cold weather lately, with it down in the, but it warms up quickly here because we are still close to the hot sun. You know, 40 in the morning, 45, 50. This morning, I think it was 50. And in the afternoon, it'll go to the high 70s.
Very good. So I guess no signs of global warming then in Arizona this year.
That's caused by the planets and making the sun the hottest it's been in 8,000 years. So I don't think we had anything to do with that. Jupiter has developed a second red spot. Mars has lost its entire ice cap, and Venus is glowing in the dark.
Well, Venus has a rather unique atmosphere there, as it's so warm and close to the sun. I believe it's highly sulfuric, so you would expect it there to be some interesting, you know, spectral anomalies on the spectrograph. It'd be like living next to a paper plant, a notorious odor typically associated with the underworld. So much going on in the markets here, and that's the reason for our call today. We've seen increased volatility in U.S. equities and really in all the financial markets. We saw crude oil plunge from over 70 down to the 55 region, struggling.
Well, we said in the last letter that it was attempting to make a head and shoulder bottom, and that if the right shoulder goes lower than the left shoulder, it would leave us open to a collapse. And that is occurring. I don't know how far it will go, but it is exceedingly rare and breaking major supports. This morning it went down below a significant support and it just bounced back up right exactly to the significant support. Not right now, as we spoke. The pattern is such that the NASDAQ 100s, which is the hotshot tech stocks, is acting the worst. And it closed yesterday, not at a new low for the last 3 or 4 months, but at a new low close for the last 3 or 4 months. And today, it again collapsed like a couple of hundred points and is bounce back up to only down 63. But we think the resistance is here where we are now, and I don't expect it to go much higher. And it could go a great deal lower. But I said this period would be too difficult for me to call from the astrological standpoint, that I covered the shorts of the newsletter on October 31st, which I believe was the bottom day or within a day of the bottom day. And I said, I've closed everything out on the long side or hedged it, and I'm just keeping personally a handful of puts in case they go to $500,000 as they did in 2008.
No, I recall you kept us surprised as that occurred by puts, usually monthly, sometimes weekly, as the price would move up with the understanding that eventually there would be a big payoff. And my guess is you probably did something similar here. I am looking at that composite, and what's interesting on an intraday or intra-week basis, we're up against what was former support about a month ago, the prior lows. And so you're right, it plunged down to new lows, but can't seem to quite get above that. That this could simply be, you realize, not even the halfway point on the downturn, because they may be looking to test the weekly support. We haven't had really any type of serious testing in 2 or 3 years. And so let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the factors maybe behind this.
On the NASDAQ composite, if you draw a line across the three bottoms in February, 1st of April, and early May, 2 days ago, well, I think it may have been Friday, the low on Friday was exactly on the line, and where it is, the high today is exactly on that line. So it's broken a very solid long-term support.
Well, there's so many technical issues. For instance, if we can see another 10-15% route, the support that was recorded this, let's just say early 2018, there was a very significant low that went in place. That doesn't hold. There really is no support. Can't find anything of any significance until another 20, 30% haircut at least. You know, we've been anticipating this mostly because of the trade tariff situation, and the markets kept chugging along for many months after the trade war unfolded near the early to mid part of this year. Trade war, trade tariff issue became prominent during the Depression era. The markets actually climbed a good bit ahead of the tariffs, the Smoot-Hawley Trade Tariff Act. The transportation sector, a huge component of this market, benefits, and so do many of the other industries, as they front run the tariffs because they have to stockpile on palladium. Wow, look at what we saw on palladium, 30, 40% over the past year or so, as auto manufacturers knew they had to stockpile, concerned about those trade tariffs. And then we saw lumber stockpiling in the United States from Canada, which had record tariffs placed there. Of course, as I mentioned in the past, have boosted new home prices by anywhere from 9 to 12%, depending on your source. First, you have the party, as the CEOs and the CFOs and related executives realize we must stockpile these resources. Let's just say front run the tariff. What happens or has happened following every serious trade war? Well, typically, you have a rather epic recession, and within a few years, there is usually a major global conflict. As trade barriers go up and barriers to trade between countries go up, what tends to cross are military boots.
Technically, today, the big gap down is more important than anything we've seen recently.
Usually, when you have a big gap, it's an indication of pent-up fear.
It's nowhere near capitulation levels.
As I see, very low volume. If you're going to find a capitulation, you nearly always, at least in the near term, see massive volume. And here's an example. In February of this year, we had the last lows well below where we are now. I'm looking at the S&P 500 here now. Volume spike came in at the lows. We are not even one-third, one-fourth of that volume on a weekly basis. The herd has not even begun to panic at this point. We talked about the trade barriers, probably a bit of a hangover following the front-running of those tax burdens that virtually every index will have to feel, not to mention the middle and working classes, who I think suffer the most from these trade tariffs. I'd also like your thoughts on the precious metals, because, you know, when stocks are under pressure, you tend to have some upward momentum. We're not really seeing that in the yellow metal this week.
I do technical and astrological work and cycle work, and that's what I pay attention to. I'm not doing anything exciting. Technically, they are not showing enough strength to go in heavily, and I wouldn't do much with them until I get an upside breakout from the five-year pattern, which would be around 1370. There's no breakouts from the really short-term stuff. And the 50-day moving average has rolled over. 200-day moving average is flat. And the gold price is staying under it so far. It ticked up above it one half a day, but it closed back under it. I think that developing a base, which could be a good thing if it breaks to the upside. If it doesn't, then we could break to the downside and go down to 1120.
Well, then you probably also notice, though, that the short-term treasuries, especially the bills here, have had an epic rally in recent weeks as stocks have sold off.
I do keep the TNX, the rate on the 10-year, and that has dropped down to 306, which is the lowest it's been in about a month and a half, actually more than almost 2 months.
Of course, sending the price of the underlying bonds much higher.
Believing that the Fed is going to jack up on December 19th, but they may do it on the 19th and then not follow through with what their projections were for next year.
I'm convinced we'll see a rate hike in December. I mean, the odds that the Fed funds futures favor that. I think you're really driving at is that's pretty well factored into this market. I mean, it's only a month away. Their models.
This much drop in the TNX, I think they may have second thoughts about it. But it's not clear that pass it yet.
Wouldn't you agree it was sort of the last bastion of strength? U.S. equities.
The thing is, usually have turning points on holidays, holiday weekends, on new and full moons. And today, tomorrow we have, day after tomorrow, we have the Thanksgiving holiday and the full moon on the same date. So that means it could really crack big time today and tomorrow and even Friday. But that may put in the collapse bottom by Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, so we could see a turning point, an inflection point, which you think is tied in to the lunar cycle.
The full moon and the holiday being together, it makes more than a double. But give it, you know, plus or minus 2 or 3 trading days on either side.
You're not really putting a lot of weight on talks between our president and Xi Jinping there in China, the G20 summit there in Buenos Aires, Argentina, where they're hoping to pull back on some of these tariffs and whatnot. You don't think that could be a point, an inflection area?
Same as the holiday, isn't it? What date is the G20?
The G20 is scheduled for later this month, so I'd say a week or so.
Okay. Well, that's within our turning point time frame, general time frame.
So maybe we get some relief. What's the Crawford perspective on the likelihood that this was it, that this was the top period for U.S. equities?
I think it's 20% to 25%.
I'd have guessed you to put a higher percentage on it.
I'd say 20% to 70%.
You don't see that the end is nigh necessarily. That's not what the charts, that's not what the constellations are indicating here, but beware.
Mars-Uranus crash cycle ends at the end of December, making it unlikely that the market will crash in 2019. So it'll either crash now or it'll crash in 2020.
You're not keeping an eye on crude oil, which has struggled so much recently?
Yes, I am. And it's breaking again today. It's 54.02, which is was a long-term support and resistance from a year ago, a year and a half ago now. There is support right here where it is now, the one a little below 52, say 51 and a half or about. The MACD momentum has been slowing considerably and could easily give a MACD buy signal, a momentum buy signal, if it starts acting just a little bit better. But on the negative side, the 50-day moving average is now breaking down through the 200-day moving average, in either today or this week or within, I'd say, 2 or 3 trading days, maybe even today.
Have you considered the fact that there's striking similarities between 2018 and almost exactly 10 years ago in 2008 and even a bit earlier? U.S. equities top out sharply and then enter sort of a gyration for the better part of a year. We saw the short-term treasuries soar. As we're seeing right now, the U.S. dollar remains surprisingly strong. Gold kind of tread water, which is also happening, oil collapsing, and the rest of the commodities sector suffering, maybe with the exception of we don't see subprime loans unfolding here. Certainly seeing, I call an echo bubble in U.S. housing. Give me an idea if you see any parallels.
Say it's closer to 2000, where we had the tech crash. The tech is crashing.
Yeah, the FANG stocks are crushed here, which is obviously weighing down on the triple Qs and obviously the NASDAQ. It looks like we have a slight potential bottom, though, on some of these. The selling would be rather intense. Head and shoulders patterns in the weekly charts across the board. Wouldn't want to be catching a dagger here, would you?
I wouldn't consider it. I actually added to shorts.
Are you buying short-term options, or would these be longer-term?
A few days. A capitulation low this weekend.
The only proviso I would toss in there, I'm starting to see some signs of capitulation in individual components. Not the indexes themselves, but some of these FANG stocks look like they really got oversold.
It's machines trading with machines, and even strong up and down moves have been not rapid, but very steady during a whole day. And it's, I think it's machines trading with machines.
So you're alluding to the high-frequency trading.
The machines are handling 90% of the volume these days.
There are some sources that indicate as high as 90%. I've even heard people take the estimates higher. Officially, it's in the 60 to 70% range.
I got the figures from the New York Stock Exchange up to 2012, and it was rising from 70 to 80 to 85, and then they quit reporting it.
Yes, that is exactly what I've heard on this topic as well.
If you read my letter, you would have read about it 2 years ago.
One of the reasons why the officials don't want to draw attention to it is they're making probably considerably more with exchange fees because of the higher frequency of these trades. However, I don't think they're terribly pleased that the public at large is not as involved because it's exclusive. For the most part, with a proprietary edge that are closest to the exchanges that can shave a few milliseconds off the trades with the better algorithms, efficient platforms. These are the folks who typically fare the best, whereas the rest of us are really relegated, I think, to trend following, or where you're looking for the larger swings within the markets to benefit from those cycles and themes. Give us an idea if you had to look out a few months or even just a few weeks. I know that's no mean feat. These markets are dynamic. They don't tend to really reward those who try to outthink the markets too far ahead. But there are pockets of predictability, as our friends within the chaos theory propose. What do you see then ahead for these markets?
Well, in my letter, I said this period is too complex to call. So I'm not taking a position in the newsletter. And I said, personally, I'm just holding a handful of puts. It does what it did in 2008, which it might.
So you think we could see something similar to the year 2000, 2001, 2007, 2008, 2009, a very tricky market that turns the financial world on its head because so few people were thinking about how attractive would it be to own some U.S. dollar in short-term treasury calls. I mean, this is not the typical mantra that you heard on Wall Street over the last few years. Anybody who ignored the buy and hope strategy was pretty much left by the wayside. But, you know, a lot of the hedge funds haven't been really excited either because over the last year, the markets have gone mostly flat to sideways. You would probably advocate lightening up portfolios a bit on equities exposure and think more conservative or at least defensive.
Absolutely.
Are you looking or would you be interested in bearish funds?
For a few days.
Okay, so you're really thinking shorter term.
Maybe even to the end of the year, because that's still inclusive of the Mars-Uranus crash cycle, where it is possibility of a crash, but it's very rare that it would happen after November.
Let's investigate that cycle and thesis a bit further. Is there anything in your work ominous on the horizon for financial markets? I mean, if I look, for instance, at the bigger picture weekly and monthly charts on the Dow, on the S&P 500, you could argue that a double top might be building up over the last 12 months in these markets. I mean, we've gone nowhere but sideways for some time, although the Dow, you have to admit the Dow is relatively strong, as I guess folks rotate out of the risk on to a more blue chip stance here. But even individual components like GE collapsed 80, 85% in recent months.
Fooling the public, because the public looks at the Dow Jones and it decides it's only 30 stocks, it's easy to manipulate.
We have seen, I think you'd agree, over the last 10 years, one of the steepest rally in U.S. equities. If you had to put a percentage that we may have seen the top, what would you put on the likelihood that maybe this is it for good?
I would say more so than ever, which doesn't mean it's got to happen.
If we look back at this, let's say from a year from now, do you think that we'll be looking at that and saying, well, it was clear the trade tariffs and so many other issues were leading up to a global conflict? In other words, do you see anything in your work that suggests there might be something brewing here that general media has not yet picked up on?
Well, I said something in this past letter that I very, very rarely ever say. And I said, this period is too confusing to write about right now.
Could it be that these algorithms have advanced to a stage that Google DeepMind and related IBM Deep Blue regularly topping the world's best experts in Go, chess, you name it, and what was formerly considered the hallmark of humanity? We don't know what those algorithms, those invisible systems are seeing here that the rest of us have not yet picked up on.
It could go either way. The action is absolutely terrible. So it could crash right now. I think you should always have some gold and or silver or both and laid away, you know, in a bank somewhere and not looked at or touched. But I'm talking about my people want to know what it's going to do on the short term and on the intermediate term. Long term, I would say you should have money stashed away in something other than dollars.
Well, why don't you tell people more, please, about Crawford Perspectives?
You want to find us. We've been number one in various markets over, I don't know anyone that's had a more spectacular long 30 to 40 year record. Google Arch Crawford is the easiest way to find it. Or if you want to type out Crawford Perspectives at earthlink.net, then go ahead and do that. But our phone number is on our website, and a lot of the interesting information is also there. It's www.crawfordperspectives.com. To people who are listening to you, I will be glad to send the September issue immediately.
All right. Thank you so much, Arch Crawford.
Thank you.